Good afternoon and welcome back to part two of It Is Possible Tuesdays with Sanya. What is possible with you? And we stopped right where we were thinking about what idea can you bring to the table as a possibility champion, as someone who is advocating for the persons who are disabled. What idea can you bring to the table? So I said to you, I wanted you to think about it, and I'm ready to take your responses at this time. What can you do as a possibility champion? How can you speak on behalf of and for those who are differently abled or other abled?
One of them, you can learn sign language. You can do sign language.
Fantastic. You know that I'd love to hear that one, Sharon. Learning yeah. sign language. Learning sign language. Well done. Anything else? So we have learning.
Patience.
Say that again.
You can develop patience.
Oh, fantastic, Antipad. That is so true. Having patience. It is such an important factor to have when you're working with persons with disabilities. And, you know, I'm just thinking of somebody who has to move much slower than everybody else. You know, you have to go at a much slower pace because they can't move as quickly. They can't move as quickly, maybe because they have a stroke on one side of the body, maybe because one limb is shorter than the other, a whole range of things. They may have a stutter, so you have to be patient while they speak their words. You know, they may take longer to write something. So patience is important, and I do love that. Having patience, learning the language. Uncle Baz.
Yes, a good listener, good eye coordination.
Yes, a good listener. And having eye coordination. One of the things that people who are disabled have a problem with is when people talk to the person who is with them rather than talk directly to them. You know, they want you to speak to them, look at them, pay attention to them, have the conversation with them, because they are the persons who you are interacting with, not the person who is there to support them. So being very much aware of those things, looking at them and listening carefully. Yes, anything else? Anything else? All right, I'm gonna share something with you. There's
I was just thinking you must also show yourself to be very interested in them.
Be interested in them.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. It's never about the person who is supporting them. It's not about us. It's about them.
All right, guys. So all right, see you, sweetie.
It's about focusing on them and their needs and what they would like to do and the way they'd like to do it. There's an organization in the United
All right, bye.
There's an organization in the United Kingdom which promotes possibility champions. And they actually take their names from something that happened in the Bible. And I want you to think of a story of a man who had four very good friends. Anybody thinking of the same story I'm thinking about? A man who had four very good friends?
I know who it is.
Lisa?
Yes.
It's
Sean. Yeah. Is it yeah. the one?
The man, with the man with the palsy.
And yes.
Jesus was in a house, more than and what they did was, because they couldn't get through the crowd, they broke the roof. And I want us to think of ourselves as possibility champions, but also roof breakers. And the organization in the UK is the Roof Breakers Organization. And what they do is to equip communities. They equip communities, not just churches, but any community, to ensure that they are welcoming and they're places that are secure or they're safe places for persons who have disabilities. And they have they've outlined a whole range of things that we can do. And I was happy that Uncle Baz mentioned being patient, because that is one of the things that they did actually say, that anybody who is a champion or a roof breaker should be a very patient person. Or was that Antipat? But I remember somebody saying that. If you think about it, if the light went off in your home right now, would you be able to find everything in your house without stumbling? Hello?
No.
Why would you stumble?
Because you can't see.
Because you can't see.
I think even though you're familiar with the general layout of wherever you live, you still need your sight to work together with your brain to get you to the exact accurate position.
Okay, fantastic. For someone who is blind, however, they don't know, they don't need their sight, do they? Because they're blind. What can we do as possibility champions in public spaces to ensure that the environment is safe for them and welcoming for them? What are some of the easy things that we can do, easy practical things that we can do for, say, someone who is blind, partially sighted, or has visual issues? Anybody?
Make sure there's no obstacles in the way.
Fantastic. So the walkways should be clear of anything, okay? So an extra chair or a chair that is out of line should not be in the way. The pathways should be clear. What about the furnishing? Let's say your carpet. How does that affect a blind person?
Yeah, you'd have to probably
Are you unmuted? Yes.
You have to probably hold the flaps of the carpet that might be lifted up so they don't trip over.
Exactly. So we need to make sure that there's no unraveling. The carpet is not lifting at any place, because it could become a hazard for that person. Jennifer, do you want to say something?
Yeah, equally rugs. They should have the non-slip, because sometimes the rugs could be a hazard, because they turn up at the ends, or the person could trip up because they're not aware that the surface is a bit uneven.
Yes. Thank you very much. So we need to be ultra careful. You know, in the same way that you baby-proof a house, you make sure that the sockets are covered and the cupboard doors can't open and the lids are shut solid. We need to make sure that our environments are safe for those who may not have sight, for those who may have mobility issues, so that they will be safe and comfortable when they are in our surroundings. But let me ask you something. Someone who is without sight and they have a white cane, what else may they have? If they have a white cane, or if they don't have a white cane, sometimes they have both, they may have a white cane and what?
They may have a guide dog, I suppose.
A guide dog. Do we need to think about the guide dog?
Yeah. Yes.
So, and I'm sure you might be thinking, no, I wouldn't have thought of this before. But what are some basic things that we need to do if we are going to entertain somebody who has a guide dog?
Provide water.
That there's space.
Yes. Yeah. There's space and there's water. Yes. Space for the guide dog to be by the person and a drinking bowl for the dog so that they can be taken care of as well. I don't know how many of you have ever seen adverts on TV and the persons who have lost their sight are saying, if I didn't have Bruno with me, my life would be over because Bruno takes me everywhere. He saved me from a car that rushed by me. And so you can imagine that these people would also want their guide dogs to be taken care of. But at the same time, are we allowed to give that dog nibbles, do you think?
I don't think
yes,
so.
Yes, give some treats. Yeah, give treats to the dog.
Are we allowed to give them treats?
No.
Oh, no, no.
We should ask the owner first.
So it has to be the owner who is giving them the treat because they are listening to their instructions and things like that. But we need to make sure that we provide them with water. We can give the treats to the owner to give them, but that shouldn't be us giving it to them. So there's certain little things in terms of protocols that we need to observe as it relates to someone who has a disability. Let's think of somebody who has epilepsy. How could we be a champion for someone with epilepsy?
Make sure there's no flashing lights.
Fantastic. Make sure that there are no flashing lights. Or what do we see happening on TV if flashing lights are going to come up on the screen?
Announce it. Announce it.
There's an announcement. An announcement. So it's about making informed decisions and ensuring that we keep people informed about what is happening. So we may say, if you are sensitive to, if you have photolight sensitivity, please look away at this point, or you may just ensure that we don't include it in our in the presentation. As I'm talking about presentation, when we're doing PowerPoint presentations, you know, sometimes we have animations and, you know, we have really fancy PowerPoint presentations. We also have to think about the impact that that might have on persons with limited sight or on somebody who is epileptic. Or who, not somebody who's epileptic, but somebody who has epilepsy. What else can we do for somebody who has epilepsy? What other thing can we think about? Anybody?
Maybe shielding them from objects which may be dangerous should they have a fit.
So should they have a seizure or a fit in wherever you are, it could be out on a football pitch, it could be in the congregation, it could be at a community center. Just we need to make sure that the area in which they may be convulsing is clear of anything that they could hit their heads on and things like that. But what happens after the seizure?
Sister Sonia?
Yes.
I'd just like to relay an episode I witnessed at school when I was at school in this country.
Yes.
We had this boy in our class, well, in our school, yeah. Whenever we were playing, he's fine. Then all of a sudden, he would have a fit and he would lie down on, well, he'd be on the floor and as if there's an electric shock going through his whole body. It was so bad for him that he actually chewed his tongue and there was blood coming from his mouth. And the teachers who gather around, they couldn't do anything in terms of how to keep him calm. So in that situation, is there anything can be done?
That's a very good question. I know when I was growing up, they used to say to try to put something in the person's mouth to prevent them from actually biting down on their tongue so that they'd have something to bite on, which would prevent them from actually biting on their own tongue. I don't think, however, that that is something that is advised at present. What I do know that they've encouraged is that we try to make sure that there are soft furnished shins around so that if they're moving the head around, they're not hurting themselves. But as it relates to the biting and so forth, I cannot give you a correct answer as it relates to what they advise us to do. Jennifer, you want to come in and say something?
No, you're not to put any obstructive things in their mouth at all.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. So as I said, that was what I grew up learning, that you should put something in their mouth. But as I said, I don't think that that is something that is acceptable now, because that could do more harm than good. And you've confirmed that. Is there anybody else who wanted to say something as it related to the question that Brother Baz asked?
I think Sanya as well, what you said is correct, but the important thing would be there to stay with the person and let the seizure do its course and then place them in the recovery position.
Yes.
Ensuring that they've got no obstructions to the airway.
Yeah, that's good.
That's all you can do is support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and immediate, you know, it's a very embarrassing situation. And what I think a lot of people who go through seizures want after the seizure is reassurance that it's okay, that they don't have to be embarrassed about it. I had a colleague who, whenever he was tired, and this usually happens on a Friday afternoon, he would have a seizure, but his seizure was not the thrashing kind. And so there are different types of seizures. So he would simply go into something catatonic. So he would be like very stiff and he would be very strong. And you would only see, he would normally have a cup of coffee in his hand and you'd only see the cup shaking, but you wouldn't be able to take the cup from him. And usually what would calm him down would be somebody just massaging his hand softly until he comes out of it. And then he'd be like very embarrassed, you know, he'd be giggling, he'd giggle. And all we would do is just ask him if he wanted to go home at that time. And his wife, he would normally say yes, his wife would come and pick him up. But it's one of those things that we just need to be very sensitive to someone who is having a seizure and just be there to reassure them that everything is okay. They can go and be in a quiet room with someone, because we don't want them to have another fit or anything like that. But it's just being aware of these things that can happen and putting things in place to deal with this. Now, when we, you know, let's say we are at church, we have quite a number of people at church who have disabilities. Some are visible, some are unseen. And I think one of the things for a disability or a possibilities champion is having an awareness that these disabilities are evident, that they are in our congregation, and having a knowledge of how to handle them. So let's say somebody has a particular seat in church and somebody comes in and wants to sit at that seat, and someone with a disability says, no, that's my seat. How do we handle that? Someone refusing to get up from a particular seat. Do we see it as somebody being difficult, or is it possible that that person may have a disability?
I'm sorry, Sana. So you're saying that the person who is in the seat, is that person a disability person?
That person may have a disability, but you don't know because not all of the disabilities are visible. So it may not be that the person has wears hearing aid, or it may not be that the person has thick glasses or has a wheelchair. It may be that the person has a learning difficulty. The person may have autism.
All right. And I am one of the member who is normal, yeah?
You don't have a disability, yes.
Without a disability.
Yeah, sorry. So therefore, that member should basically be aware of that person and observe that person and should really let the person have that seat. Yeah.
My thing is, why does the person need to get up whether they're disabled or not? If you're already seated.
You know, sometimes somebody comes into church, we need an extra chair, and somebody says, oh, but you don't need the seat, could you give it to someone? And we're thinking, oh, that person, that's okay, we can ask that person to get up. Because we have asked people to give up their seats before, you know? And this person may not get up, and you might be thinking, but this person looks healthy, and they don't have a problem, they can get up. And so it's
I don't think there should be allocated seats in church for individuals, whether they are able-bodied or not.
Say that again?
I don't think that there should be allocated seats for people, whether they are able-bodied or not.
Yeah, but I'm not saying the seat is allocated. I'm saying that this person, and the reason I'm saying it, someone who has autism, they don't like changes. So they may come in and they like the seat at the end, or they like the seat in the middle, and they may not want to get up to go and sit somewhere else, especially if they have not been briefed before that they might need to get up. Now, if we are aware that there are persons with disabilities within our community, and we know what these disabilities are, then we would know who not to ask to get up from a seat, or, you know,
I think in cases like that, if you know that that person is autistic, for example, and they don't like change or it will cause a problem, then you can put something in place as a church to reserve that seat for that person so there wouldn't be issues.
Exactly. And that is why having possibility champions, which I'm hoping that everybody here is going to be a possibility champion in their area of influence, you're going to be standing up and speaking on behalf of those who have disabilities. You're going to ensure that you're more informed about the different disabilities, and you will be advocating on behalf of persons who have disabilities. For today, I am hoping, and my main reason for this afternoon's program is to get everybody to be more visible in their relationship with persons with disability, more vocal in their support of persons with disability, because what I want is more action from persons who are aware of disability. I want you to be able to effect change where you are. And each of us, there's a song which says, each one reach one, and one cocoa full basket. So if each of us is doing something, then there will be a greater impact in the lives of persons who have disabilities. The idea behind becoming a possibility champion is that you're going to be taking a person-centered approach. You're going to be advocating, which means that you're going to be speaking up for or acting on behalf of someone with a disability. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be finding out information. You're going to be mediating. You're going to be representing someone. And I want us to look on it as remembering that we are all brothers keepers, and that we are all of the same body. And we are supposed to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So we are advocating for our family member. We're advocating for our family. We are standing up for them. And we're making sure that everybody is treated equally. But we're making sure that in treating everybody equally, we're also focusing on the person and on the individual. And so it's important for us to know about each, well, know as much as we can about the disabilities that are in existence and finding out how to respond to each of these disabilities in a positive way that empowers the person and doesn't make them seem as if they're a victim. I want us to look at, there's a school of thought that talks about a social model of looking at disability. Has anybody ever heard of the social model of looking at disability?
Yeah.
And what do you know? Can you share your views on it for me, Jennifer?
Whereas the medical model always saw them as being sick and need treatment, the social model takes into consideration their whole aspect of life and how things socially may disadvantage them. So it's about ensuring that we remove some of these obstacles.
Fantastic.
That's it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jennifer. So with the medical model, there was a problem with the person. With the social model, we fix the environment rather than fixing the person. And I just want to share this with you. I'm going to share my screen and give you an example of a little bit more of what we're looking at. So Jennifer rightly said, you know, oops, why did... So according to the social model, there is a distinction between impairment and disability. So with impairment, it's focusing on what you lack. So you can't walk or you can't breathe independently. Disability refers, and I like this, refers to the restrictions caused by society, but it does not give equivalent attention and accommodation to the needs of individuals with impairments. This is a new way of looking at disability. It refers to the restrictions caused by society, okay? When it does not give equivalent attention and accommodation to the needs of individuals. So someone is unable to climb the stairs. What is it that the medical model would say? We need to get that person to learn how to walk the stairs. With the social model, what they do is to make the use of the stairs unnecessary. So they replace the stairs with a wheelchair accessible ramp. And that's what being an advocate is about, okay? So according to the social model, the person remains impaired with respect to climbing stairs, but the impairment should no longer be considered disabling because the person can get to the same location without climbing any stairs. Today, we are looking at being proponents of the social model. We are looking at becoming the possibility champions for the persons who have disabilities in our community, in our church, in our workplace. And if you look around, you'll notice that not many people are employed who have disabilities. What can you do to help somebody to be employed who has a disability? Do you have a business? Are you going to employ them? Are you going to help them to fill out the application form? Is there anything that you can do to help someone who has a disability to get a job, to get benefits, to be included in the social groups around them. As we come to the end of our session today, I want you to think about what we spoke about. Think about some of the ideas that you raised. Think about some of the things that have been brought up. And think, how can I really make an impact? How can I really work with someone who has a disability? How can I be of support to someone? If you remember the Bible, when Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out in twos. And that was because they were there to support each other. How are we supporting those who are differently abled from ourselves? As we think about it, let us start not just thinking about it, but finding opportunities to act upon it. Before we go, and we have 6 minutes before we go, I want to share some signs with you. We all know how to say hello, and it's the same thing to say goodbye. Anybody remembers how to say hello, and you'd like to show me? Okay, I'll show you then. So hello, that's it. And goodbye, that's it. If I want to say thank you for something, I put my hand, can everybody see me? I need to stop sharing and then you may see me better. Okay, so I put my hand at the end of my chin and I go out, thank you. And I mouth it. Okay, so the fingers pointing, and then out from the chin. Now remember, we don't speak, we just mouth it. If you did something and you were sorry about it, you make a fist and you do a circular motion at the upper part of your body, sorry. Your face at the same time looks sad. Can you see the sad look on my face? My smile is turned down. And you make the circular motion with your face. Thank you. Sorry. Those are two signs that I'm going to give you for today. Thank you and sorry. I would like to make a promise that each time we have, or it is possible, Tuesday sessions, that I teach you two signs at the end of each session so that you become more familiar with British Sign Language so that you also start using them in your day-to-day interactions with persons who are deaf. We have Ingrid's son who comes regularly to see us, and hopefully when we return to church, he'll be with us. And we also have Esther, who is a member of our church, and she will be happy to interact and talk with us using her first language, which is sign language. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say a very big thank you for staying with me this afternoon as we talk about what is possible with you, with your input, as you consider becoming possibility champions, as you put into practice what you know and what you have in your heart to be your brother's keeper. Next week, we will have a few guests as they will be discussing a very important topic, which I would like you to be present for. It is possible Tuesdays for today has come to an end. Thank you very much for your input and your presence. Thank you for being here. It has been a pleasure interacting with you. Do have a very good evening. See you next week at It Is Possible Tuesdays with Sanya. Hi. Hi, Charmaine. Nice to see you. Thank you, Jennifer, Lisa, for then Sister Korea, Charmaine, Claire. Thank you very much, everybody. And Jennifer, thank you for being with us today. It was lovely having you with us. Thank you. Have a good evening, everybody, and see you next week.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, Lisa.
No worries. See you soon.
Thank you, everybody. That's it.